All right, everybody, welcome to The Family Gamers. This is episode number 17, and once again, I am your host, Andrew, and I have with me...
Anitra.
As always.
Aw.
Anitra, who always says aw, and I always shake my head.
You always look at me with a strange look.
And everybody that is listening shakes their head, too.
Okay, fine. Shake your head at me.
Anyway, we are here. We are super pumped for this show. This is going to be our best of 2015 show when it comes to games and board games and all the other kinds of family gaming related things that we did this year. Stuff that we were surprised by, stuff we weren't.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll try to keep it
short.
Shortish. Yeah. Whatever. But last week was Christmas, so we had a show last week. We had our friend on the show to talk about his new app.
Yep.
And that was awesome. So we had a good time with that. If you haven't checked out Brick Instructions yet and you got some Legos for Christmas, make sure to head over to the Windows App Store and download that. It is free, and you can find all of the instructions for all of your Lego sets right on there. So if you burn the instructions in effigy... you can find them again. But anyway, so Christmas. So Christmas was fun this year.
Yep.
I bought you a game or two.
Yep. I'm looking forward to playing them. We haven't had time yet.
You didn't buy me any games.
No, but I bought you lots of gaming-related stuff.
That's true. That's true. I got a Han Solo bobblehead and a Fallout 4 bobblehead, and I got a super sweet Legend of Zelda bathrobe.
Yep.
Pretty awesome. I'm pretty stoked by that.
Yep.
So what about the games that I bought for you?
You bought me a game called Patchwork, which has looked really cool, and I am looking forward to having time to play it when we are not podcasting, nor taking care of sick children, nor taking care of relatives staying with us.
Yeah, it's pretty
nor
great.
Cleaning up from the Christmas mess.
Yeah. Patchwork is a two-player game that sort of... I don't really say area control, but it's a fun little game. I'll let you give your review when you get the chance to play it. Sure. I did, however, I didn't get any games from you, but I did get a game from your dad.
You did.
I am so excited.
I am excited for that game too.
That I got Pandemic Legacy from your dad. So big ups to father-in-law for getting me one of the best games of 2015. That's going to be on our list. So I'm super excited about that. What about the kids? What did we get the kids? Did we get the kids any games?
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Well, let's see. We already talked a couple of weeks ago how we were getting them Battleship.
Yes. And our four-year-old has played Battleship now.
Yes.
He kind of half understood what he was doing.
You know what? I was actually surprised. Like, I wasn't surprised that he didn't get all the concepts right away.
Uh-huh.
I was pretty surprised that he picked up the concepts really pretty well by the end of the game.
I think what we should have done was you and I should have played with a kid on your lap and a kid on my lap, and they could have sort of seen the game in action. And then,
well, I think part of it with him is he's such a concrete thinker that honestly the best way to introduce him to the game would have been to put the two boards side by side and say, so see, when you're trying to hit my ship, you're looking at your board here and trying to use that board to help you guess where my ships are.
Okay, that's fair.
While and then saying, this is where my ships actually are. This is what you're trying to use to guess. Because he had a big problem with that. He would occasionally just start guessing random numbers, and I would look and I say,
You've already guessed that.
You need to guess something else. Or he would guess a whole bunch in a line, and I'd be like, there's no space left in there for a ship to be. You should guess somewhere else.
But that was fun. I mean, it's kind of neat to see our kids' brains work in that way. So that was fun. Did we get any games for the Claire Bear?
We got her some Crossmaster figures.
That's true. Yeah, we did. But we had that copy of Mastermind, but we haven't given it to her yet.
We haven't given it to her yet. Yeah, it felt like she was getting a lot of stuff for Christmas.
She did get a lot of stuff for Christmas. That's probably why.
Yeah.
So... she did get a Kindle. So we talked a while ago. We had a couple episodes about screen time.
Yes, we did.
And, you know, the Kindle being an internet-connected device would qualify as a device that we need to be concerned about screen time with.
So I can tell people what we chose to do for dealing with a 7-year-old having an internet-connected device.
Well, Amazon has a relatively new program.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you know a lot more about this, so I'm going to let you talk about it.
So there's a couple things at play here. One thing is that you can, Amazon has like a family library program. You can basically have 2 adult accounts and up to 4 child accounts.
You made me an adult account.
To sort of share books amongst each other. In reality, what that means is, it's a good way to use the new Amazon Free Time app. And in the Free Time app, a kid can only access the books that are available on their account.
Right.
Outside the Free Time app, that's not true. So Claire and I have been feeling this out.
Mm-hmm. Explain the Free Time thing to me, because okay. I didn't even really understand this, and I figured that I might as well just ask you on the show.
Sure. So it took me a little while to figure it out, too. Free Time is an app that runs on any kind of Kindle-like device that gamifies reading.
Okay.
It keeps track of what books your kids are reading, how fast they're reading, how much time they're spending reading, or at least pretending to read, and then turns that into a series of goals and badges and, you know, hey, you've met your goal of reading 30 minutes a day today. Hey, you've met your goal of reading 30 minutes a day every day this week, and now you get a special badge for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've finished 2 books, and so you get a badge for that.
Now, do you get notified when she gets those badges?
I do not.
Because that would be kind of a thing.
I think you can set it up so you do.
Okay.
But we just kind of used the out of the box settings for right. Free Time. But the other half of what's going on here is, since this really is her Kindle, it's on more or less on my account,
mm-hmm.
but we have it completely locked down with the parental controls. So first of all, if we go into the Free Time app, she can't get back out of the Free Time app without the parental controls password.
Cool.
Which is good. Secondly, without entering the parental controls password, although it's internet connected, it can't call out to the internet. It can only get push content.
Okay.
So I can buy a book and say, send it to Claire's Kindle, and it'll automatically show up. But she cannot, from the Kindle, say, I want to go buy a book. Or even, I want to go see what kind of books are available. Just, it won't let her access the internet on her own at all.
Sure. I think that makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah. But that's the complete lockdown setting.
Right.
Where it technically still has internet, but in practice, the only way she can get to it is if she knew the password.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that really does accomplish some of the, you know, potential concerns. I mean, I think that, if your issue is that your children read too much, that's pretty low on the issues list.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously the content that they're reading could be of concern.
Well, that was my concern with doing this is, you know, I don't mind. I don't even mind if she wants to say, hey, mom, I want to, you know, if she wants to say, hey, I really want to get some more books. But at this stage, I would like her to go through me, because we've already talked, she and I have talked about, there are certain kinds of books she really wants to read. They're not bad books, but they're not appropriate for her age, and I won't let her read them. Mm-hmm. And she is quite put out about that. And there are a few of those that if she was able to, she would go behind my back and try to get on her Kindle without me knowing.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm glad she can't do that right now.
Just you wait.
Yeah, I know it's coming.
Right.
Eventually.
Yeah, I think, we also, my sister gave our 4-year, almost 5-year-old a copy of Captain Toad Treasure Tracker for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
This is a super adorable game. One of the things that I was really impressed with this game is that it gets into the gameplay without really any text. So even though he's can't really read, I mean, he's definitely starting to recognize some words.
He's a pre-reader.
It doesn't really matter because it uses, you know, context clues and icons and things like that to mm-hmm. sort of explain how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a game, it really took a mechanic out of, what was it, Super Mario 3D World that had those Toad levels in it, or was it something even earlier than that? I don't remember.
No, it's Super Mario 3D World.
So yeah. there's these, you know, limited in size, three-dimensional levels that you rotate around with the right stick on, you know, whatever your Wii U controller of choice is. And they're essentially puzzle.
Yeah.
Puzzle cubes.
Yeah. And it's also got the gimmicky feature where you can, if you can't quite figure out the rotation with the stick, you can take the gamepad itself and move it around to change your perspective.
And so the goal is to get, you know, to get the star in the level, but also there's these three coins that you can get in each level for sort of varying levels of difficulty without preventing a player from continuing in the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're these kind of cute little self-contained little puzzles, and then you go from puzzle to puzzle. It's almost like flipping through a book, kind of, is the way it's set up.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, it's a cute game, and it's definitely something that he was able to pick up the mechanics pretty quickly, but some of the, you know, more complete things, you know, our 7-year-old was like, oh, go over here and do this thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So they did a very good job with that game of making it sort of multi-layered, where I could play it or you could play it, and then he could play it separately, and we could both kind of enjoy it at different levels. So that was a well put together game like that.
They also got to borrow from your sister, Yoshi's Woolly World.
That game is adorable.
That game is adorable, and it's fun, and it's honestly, it's significantly easier than most of the Mario games. It's the same idea, but it's significantly easier to get through as long as you're not trying to get all the extra stuff.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, it's the same kind of thing. It's Nintendo doing a good job of understanding that their audience at this point now spans, you know, 40 years of game player. So
I will say, I had a friend the other day post to Facebook a picture of the Yarn Yoshi amiibo, and she's like, "What is this? It is adorable, and I want it," because she's a knitter and you know, has enough Nintendo to realize, no, it's right. Yoshi.
Well, there's actually two of them. So there's the regular sized Yarn Yoshi amiibo,
yeah,
which is the same size as every other amiibo, and then they made like a giant one.
That's awesome.
The actual amiibo chip is embedded inside of Yarn Yoshi instead of
standing on the little platform.
It's kind of it's not really standing on a platform, but it's like sewn to the bottom kind of thing.
Okay.
Whereas the other one, it's like completely inside.
Hmm.
But yeah, the bigger one is probably
small stuffed animal size.
Yeah, like half a shoebox size.
Okay,
probably.
Neat.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I mean, it dwarfs any other amiibo would have.
Sure.
But that thing's pretty cute. Any other games? Game related things for the Christmas.
Oh, something you didn't
season.
Know with the Yoshi's Woolly World. Like most other Wii U games these days, it has an amiibo feature.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Yarn Yoshi amiibo. Any amiibo you stick on there, you get little personalized Yoshis based on that figure.
Oh, well, so, I think they're just different colors, though,
so,
right?
Yeah, so now in the game they have, like, a Mega Man Yoshi, because we have Mega Man. And
right.
They have a Captain Falcon Yoshi and a Peach Yoshi.
They're No, that's
adorable.
Kirby.
That would be Captain Falcon Kirby.
Yes, that's Captain Falcon Kirby.
Papa!
All right. Well, we are going.
Too many games.
Yeah, absolutely. so that has been what we have been doing. I think we are going to jump into a quick break.
Sure.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the contest.
Yes.
And some cool stuff. We have a cool guest next week.
Yes.
That I'm very excited about. And we will talk about that. And then we will talk about our best of 2015.
Yeah.
And what we're looking forward to in 2016.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
We are back. Breaks are the best.
We are going to talk a little bit about our giveaway.
Yeah, we are doing one final giveaway for 2015.
You still have a couple of days left.
We will announce the winner on our next show. So definitely make sure to go to our Facebook page, which is at
facebook.com/familygamersaa.
Yep. And if you go to our Facebook page, there is a post, a pinned post for the contest. We should talk about what we're giving away.
We should. We are giving away a pair of Little Hands card holders. So not just one, but two. If you have small children who have small hands, or if you have anyone else you play games with who has trouble holding onto a full hand of cards, whether that's because of arthritis or special needs of other sorts, any of those, these are great.
Not only that, we've actually, since the contest has been out there for a little while, we've had a bunch of people comment on it already and suggest the kinds of things that they would be useful for. One person said, and I thought this was brilliant, Hanabi. Because yes. You have to hold your hand in such a way that everyone can see them all the time, and that can get kind of tiring. And so even a regular person could use these to hold their hand.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to put it down.
And so then you could put it down without accidentally looking at it, which is a big problem in Hanabi.
Yeah. Which is, I love the game. Don't get me wrong.
It's an awesome game.
It's a little bit of a nuisance.
Yeah.
That we should bring that game on vacation.
That sounds like a good
idea. I think
your
dad would like it.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in winning, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/familygamersaa, and comment on that pinned post. Tell us about some card games that you like to play with the little ones in your life.
Yeah.
And you'll be entered in for a chance to win. So go do that. Booyah. All right. So we are going to talk this week, since it is so close to the end of 2015, about some of our favorite stuff from this year.
Yeah.
We've really, we've done a lot of board game related things this year. I think probably more so than any other year. And
yeah, we have.
We've had the good fortune through various connections to get exposed to a lot of different stuff. And we are certainly not the final authority on any of those things. But we thought we'd share some of the stuff that we've really, really liked this year. And I think a little bit, you know, some stuff we're looking forward to in 2016.
A little bit, yeah.
So why don't we start with you, my love?
Should we start with a board game or a video game?
Whatever you want. It's up to you.
Well, I'm going to start with the game that we played again tonight.
Okay.
Which is Santa's Little Helpers and the Ice Cube Jam.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this game because it's so easy to explain. It's easy to play. You can play it with anybody.
Yep.
And I mean, it's really, it's got sort of that same quick and easy and catchy vibe that a lot of the pick up and play like mobile games have. But it's a little,
yes,
it's like a,
yes,
board game.
Yes, exactly. It's quick, easy, catchy, and it's just cutesy enough. It's not overly cute,
mm-hmm.
which is good.
And the mechanics are simple.
Yep.
Like really anybody can understand this game.
Yep. When I found out that the guy who makes this game, that he started off selling it at basically like a holiday craft fair, I was really not at all surprised, because it's the kind of game you can demonstrate in less than 5 minutes.
Yep, absolutely. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. So if that's a game that you might be interested in, sounds a little bit interesting, you can go to thegamecrafter.com and just do a search at the top in the little search bar
Ice for Ice Cube Jam.
Ice Cube Jam or Santa's Little Helper, you know, something like that, and you'll find the game right away.
So your turn. What is a game you really enjoyed this year?
I'm going to be lame, and I'm going to go with Fallout 4.
Oh, going for the big name.
Yeah, this game is sucking my life away.
Well, I'm then going to turn around and say the same, and Fallout Shelter, that we have a new iPad, has gone back to sucking my life out.
So here's the thing about these games, and I talked a lot with our guest Matt Shapiro last week about Fallout, and the thing that I really like about it is that there are parts of the game, like it's a rated M game, it's not really appropriate to play around kids, but there are parts of the game that you know that you're going to be sheltered from a lot of that kind of stuff. It's the building and things like that, and those things can be played with kids around, and so they can see them and be like, oh, this is what, you know, this is the game that daddy plays. So you have the kid games and you have the dad games or the mom games or whatever. But it helps to bridge that gap a little bit, and they kind of feel like they're not excluded from the stuff that dad does for fun.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I mean, look, I love playing games with my kids, but sometimes it's like effort and not fun. You know, I mean, it there's always fun in it, but sometimes not as relaxing as you would want it to be. And so,
and it's just that I really want to play my game. I don't want to play your game right now. I want to play my game that I'm trying to make progress in. Mm-hmm. And when that's a game that you can say, well, it's not your game to play, but you can watch, and maybe even I'll hand the controller over for a couple minutes and let you help. Then that can help with the de-stressing a little bit.
Right. I mean, you basically play Fallout Shelter with our son.
I mean, I like to play it on my own, but then he comes and he's like, Mom, do that. Mom, go collect your water and your power. Come on, do it, Mom.
That's funny.
So that can get a little annoying, but he also likes to play it, and it's nice that the Fallout Shelter game is set up in such a way that on any one iOS device, you can have three different shelters.
Mm-hmm.
So I can set him up with his own.
That gets back to one of the fundamental things that bothers me about iOS, but I digress.
Yeah, well.
User accounts, man. User accounts.
You know what? Like, on an iPhone or something like that, it doesn't make sense to have different user accounts. But man, on an iPad, it would make an awful lot of sense.
So, anyway. So that's some digital stuff. We talked, I want to say it was right at the beginning of the Family Gamers, when the podcast actually had a different name, that we had mentioned a game that we had gotten in for review called 5-Minute Delivery.
I think it's a game you were reviewing for
Reviewed it for a different site, but I do think we talked about it on our podcast. 5-Minute Delivery is a game, a super clever idea. I loved it. Where you basically play the game while there is an MP3 track running in the background. And the MP3 track lasts 4 or 5 minutes. The whole point of the game is that it takes 5 minutes. And you play as a goblin in Gobliopolis. And you're trying to make deliveries as fast as you can. And the way that the game works is that there's a narrative that gives you a certain number of steps that you can take and blah, blah, blah. And so everybody is moving at the same time, taking whatever steps the narrative says that they can take and trying to deliver as many packages as possible and return to home base and pick up more and deliver them and so on and so forth. And so whoever delivers the most packages, more or less wins. But I loved the game because it had this kind of cute, unapologetic humor to it that wasn't like really super cutesy, but it wasn't kind of scary. And it was really, really approachable. It got pretty frenetic pretty quickly. And I don't know that you could really play a game like that with little kids.
No, you definitely
for a while they'd have to really start. You know, they'd have to watch it for a bit before they'd be able to play it.
You need kids who are solid readers.
Yeah. It's fun.
It is a frustrating game, but if you go into it knowing that, like, this is a frustrating game, you're not going to meet all your goals, and that's okay, nobody meets all their goals, then it gets a little better.
Yep, absolutely. So that's next on my list.
Okay. I'm gonna stick with the digital games for another minute and mention Project Rocket Golfing.
Yeah, you love that game.
I love that game. It's an iOS game. We've talked about it several times before.
I think it's on Android, too.
We found out about it just leading up to Boston Fig back in the fall. And it's great. I love the fact that the first several levels are preset, you know, kind of guide you through learning the game. And then after that, you enter the name of the galaxy you're exploring or whatever the terminology is they use. And then everything is system generated. It's, you know, a random seed based on the name that you've chosen.
Which is kind of a clever way to do it.
Yeah.
So, essentially it's a... it's a gravity simulator, I guess, where you're...
It's a gravity simulator slash puzzle game.
Yeah, where it reminded me a lot of Scorched Earth when I played it.
The idea
that you're trying to figure out an angle and a power that would shoot your ball around this planet or potentially into the gravitational pull of another planet in order to get into the Gulf hole.
The final hole.
What do they call it? Is there a name for the Gulf hole?
I'm sure on there the green? Is, but I don't know. I don't golf enough.
I used to live behind a golf course. I don't even know the answer. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, cute game. From your love to mine.
Speaking of rockets.
Rocket League. I think this is the multiplayer darling of 2015 for a lot of people. Rocket League came out. It was free on PlayStation 4, which is where I picked it up.
Yeah.
It is indoor soccer with cars. I mean, come on. Yes. How much more awesome can you get than that?
Well, I mean, and the concept alone is like, okay, that could be fun. And then you realize that it's not just soccer with cars. It's soccer with ridiculously overpowered rocket cars. So everybody just kind of bounces around all over the screen.
Yeah, it's great. It's good. It's good fun. Yeah. It's a really neat game. One of the things I really like about Rocket League, not only is it you know, fun to play in multiplayer and whatever, but you can play with kids. And if you put it on like 4 against 4 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're just driving around, and they really don't affect what's going on during the game all that much. But that's a fun game. It's very, very safe. There's nothing in it that's offensive in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
You know, we had a few games where I would play with Claire, and she would be driving a car around, up a wall, falling off the wall, you know, whatever.
I think Asher did that at least once and just giggled like a maniac for half the time.
Because he was holding a controller.
And driving up the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why every time he watches me play, it's like, Dad, go up the wall, driving the ceiling. Dad, go up the wall, driving the ceiling. Ah.
In the way that 4-year-olds can.
Mm-hmm. Pretty solid. I like that game a lot.
Yeah. All right. Now it's my turn to go back to the board game arena. Maze Racers.
Oh.
Another great game for all
ages.
I think
our love for Maze Racers is well documented on this show.
I think we mentioned it about every second episode.
Possibly. So I don't think we really need to explain what Maze Racers is all about. If you are curious, go back. There's an episode called Maze Racers where we interview the creator of the game. So that's kind of the place to go. But our 4-year-old really, really likes it a lot and plays it. A lot. He still takes it out and just to kind of be creative with all the maze creation
with all the
pieces,
magnets, yeah.
All the magnet pieces. So that's a fun game. I've played a lot of games on iPad, which are basically board games that have been made digital. Lords of Waterdeep would be a kind of a great example of, yeah. of a game. Well, because the problem with Lords of Waterdeep is that it takes, you know, multiple hours to play and you got to get a bunch of people together and everybody's got to be interested in playing it.
And there's a fair bit of manual resource management through the whole
thing. Yeah, I guess so. I think you kind of get used to it.
It's not overdone, but yeah, it's certainly an aspect.
Right. I think that kind of thing in general, that whole idea of being able to take a physical game into the digital realm and then what you can do with that, whether it's playing... asynchronously with other people, or playing against the computer, or even saying something like, look, great example. The game Splendor was on sale last week.
Yes.
Splendor was a game that, you know, we had kind of tossed around the idea of buying. We've made jokes about Splendor before because the game is like $30 or $40 and there's just not a lot of components and we didn't even really know if we would like it. But we got it on sale for 99 cents on iOS.
Yeah,
But even if it was full price, it was $7, which when you compare that to the full price game is you know, peanuts. And that whole idea, you know, we've now been able to play the game a few times and
not only against the computer, but also against each other.
I don't really know that we need to buy that game because the pass and play works so well.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it really affords people the ability to get into a game. Almost immediately. I mean, if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you're like, you know, I really think I'd like to try out Harbor. Okay, yeah. Great. I can go pay $7 on the iTunes App Store and download the game and play it. And there's certain companies that are better at making digital versions than others. Days of Wonder does a lot of their own stuff, and they're really pretty good at it. Ticket to Ride, the Ticket to Ride iOS app is fantastic. Anything made by Playdeck is really good.
They're the ones who, they're the ones who made the Lords of Waterdeep.
They are the ones who made the Lords of Waterdeep one. I think... I don't recall if Playdeck made Summoner Wars or not. I think they might have. Playdeck is making the Twilight Struggle.
Oh, iOS you're looking game, that's something you're looking forward to for 2016, I bet.
Which is something that I am looking forward to greatly in 2016. But you know, if there are games that you might want to try, or you're kind of thinking about them, you're not really sure, maybe you want your kids, you know, your kids want a game or something like that, definitely see if it's available digitally. Because you know what, if you spend $7 on a game and you kind of, you just don't like it, well, at least now you know, and more likely than not, you'll understand whether it's the implementation or the mechanics of the game itself. And that'll help. Yeah. And so really for me, and I know that a lot of these games have existed in this kind of space for a while, but that whole idea of taking this physical game and turning it into a digital experience on the iPad has been one of my favorite game-related things of 2015 in general.
Okay.
And sort of piggybacking on the back of that is sometimes you get a game that is a lot like a physical game, but they want to do some things that maybe a physical game couldn't do.
You're talking about Soulforge.
And I'm talking about Soulforge. Soulforge is a game that actually came out, I want to say it came out in 2014. I met Justin Gary, who is the creator of the game. He started Gary Games, which became Stoneblade Entertainment, I think, at PAX Prime in 2013.
A couple
years ago, yeah. And the game was in development at that point. I played a beta at that point, but we didn't even have an iPad yet. So I was like, it's kind of cool, but whatever. So Soulforge is a deck building sort of game where as you play cards, you have like five slots. And as you play a card into a slot, you discard the card, and the discarded card levels up from a level 1 to a level 2, level 2 to level 3, and then kind of gets shuffled into the bottom of your deck. And so as you go through your deck, by nature of the fact that you're progressing through it, gets more powerful.
Yeah.
The cards in it get more powerful. And so every game reaches a crescendo at the end where the creatures that you have, even though you're playing the same cards, they've now been leveled up. And so, they're more powerful.
So it has some of the same feel as a deck builder like Dominion, except you're not really building the deck.
Yeah, you're not buying new cards.
You're not buying new cards in the course of the game. You're playing cards
in order to level those same cards up to make them more powerful.
Which is, it's a very neat mechanic, and it's really something that is... I won't say you couldn't do with a physical game, but it's much easier.
You'd have to have a deck that you start with a third of it, and every time you play a card, you have to swap it out with something else. That would be a nuisance.
It would be a big headache to do.
But that game is really fun. I've never paid a penny for it. It's a free download. I mean, they've got microtransactions and stuff like that in it. But if you have an iPad and I mean, it's a beautiful game. It's really pretty. We were playing it on the iPad too. It's so much more tolerable on the new iPad, by the way. That's a game to check out. If you like Ascension, he was one of the guys who worked on Ascension, so there's a lot of the same DNA there. So if you like Ascension, and that is available as a physical card game, check this one out. It's fun. It's a good game.
Neat. Well, I think our last one of 2015 has got to be World's Fair 1893. This is a game that we were sent for review leading up to a Kickstarter. And we
instantly turned around and kickstarted it.
We loved it, and we said, "Oh yes, please! We like this game, and we, you know, the copy we got was really fun, but not quite you know, not quite as beautiful and complete. So yes, we will totally kickstart this game ourselves.
Yeah, we absolutely did. Just
by virtue of getting the review copy.
So that game was made by the same guys who made the game Lanterns, which is available at retail, and it's a lot of fun. It destroyed its Kickstarter goal. I mean, wrecked it.
Yeah.
Because it's that much fun. Basically, you are...
It's gorgeous, and it's fun, and it's educational.
It's educational on the side.
Yes.
You know, it's the point of the game. You are a...
It's the kind of educational where it just kind of gives you a taste of what was going on.
Yeah, like if you read the flavor text on the cards, you'll learn something.
And it gives you just enough of a taste to kind of make you want to go out and learn more, which is...
Yeah,
which
I'm trying to remember what...
Approach it.
How would you... You're like an... I don't want to say exhibitionist.
You're helping to build and develop the exhibits.
Right. But you want to gain the most favor so that your exhibit will be a featured exhibit.
Yes.
That's the kind of the premise of the game.
Yep.
And the progression mechanic is the Ferris wheel.
Which is awesome.
Which is cool. And there's all sorts of different ways in which the Ferris wheel progresses and as it when the car in the Ferris wheel goes, you know, all the way around, that represents
the
sort
round
of a round.
Ends, yeah.
And it's just it's a super fun little game with some nice resource management. Not really area control, but kind of area control with the way you played it the last time we played, you jerk.
It can be played like an area control game, yes.
But it was just fun. It was just a great little game, and we really liked that a lot. I am, however, going to interrupt your assertion that is the last thing of 2015.
Okay.
With something that actually straddles the line.
Okay. All right. What is this mysterious game?
This was, and we've talked about it on the show before, my game of the year of 2015, and it's not even out. You know what it is.
It's Campaign Trails.
Campaign Trail is so good.
It's not even out. It's, unfortunately, its first Kickstarter failed.
Yeah, I really don't know why that is. I think that
I have a theory.
People, it's hard with a game like that to really show how fun it is. Like, to really, truly show how fun it is. In fact, we had so much fun playing this game that we randomly send and get text messages or Facebook messages of quotes from when we played the game with some of our friends because it was that hilarious.
But I think
not only that, but I spoke with the guy who created the game and he really wants video of us playing the game.
The next time around before the next time around. All right. Something to look forward to in 2016, folks.
So I don't know if it'll make it into the Kickstarter, but he, you know, we had a pretty long conversation either today or yesterday about how it was very difficult to convey just how fun the game was.
Yes. I think that's probably why the Kickstarter failed, because people hear, you know, this is a game based on U.S. election mechanics. That's going to be super, super educational game and not that. And, you know, and it's a long game, too. And that people hear that and they're just like, ugh, this is a niche game. People are not going to enjoy this. People are not going to want to play this with me. And I would say, I beg to differ. If you have friends you play games with who like strategy games at all, like not just the super heavy duty, let's play Lords of Waterdeep, let's play Twilight Struggle, you know, but people who are just like, okay, yeah, once in a while, you know, they will love this game because it is much more fun than the topic which it addresses.
Well, it's not only that, but there's, I guess it's trash talk. There's a lot of room to breathe in this game.
It lends itself to trash talk,
and
really.
So you can...
You're going down, Republicans!
Well, it's not even... I don't know if trash talk... Like, there's a lot of room to breathe character into your candidate.
Yeah.
And it if... I mean, if you have, like a dour group of players, then, you know, you'll slog through it. But the mechanics are still really solid anyway.
Yeah.
But... it, you know, if you really are a fun loving group of gamers that are getting together and playing a game like this, it's, you know, you can really construct a narrative.
Oh yeah.
Out of the mechanics, which are tight, and yet not loose, but like the mechanics are tight, but there's a lot of room for interpretation in what's going on in the metagame.
Yeah, sure.
And it's almost fun to see how all of these different mechanics come together because it's so well crafted.
It's a very well done resource management board game, but it leaves a lot of room open for basically turning it into a role playing game. You know, election, the role playing game.
Yeah, right. So, you know, so I was in my conversation with Jeff Cornelius, one of the game creators earlier today. They're completely redoing all of the candidates and all the candidate powers, which is going to be pretty interesting.
That's probably not a bad idea.
And they're getting a new artist and some other stuff.
Cool.
But they will be re-releasing on Kickstarter in the spring.
We are super looking forward to this.
I told him that if it fails again, I will buy one of his
prototype copies
because yeah. I want the game that badly.
We want to play it again.
And so I think at this point, he's heard me. So, yeah, Campaign Trail is my game of the year of 2015. And it is one of the games that I'm the most looking forward to in 2016.
Fair enough.
I actually have a bunch of stuff that I'm looking forward to in 2016.
All right. Well, you know more than I do about what's coming out in 2016. So tell me. There are some games we have that we haven't played yet that I bet you're really looking forward to.
Well, that's maybe half of it.
I'm really looking forward to playing Patchwork, which, as we already said, you got me for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to someday, eventually, getting around to playing Tesla versus Edison.
Which we've had, maybe 4 months?
We've had sitting on the shelf and haven't had time to play.
Yeah, yeah. I really, really would love to play. That might be another game to bring this on vacation.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Might appeal. Might be thematically appealing.
The theme would appeal, yeah.
We'll bring a
couple.
Might
be a little deep.
We'll bring a couple. We'll see what we can do. Yeah. We kickstarted another game that I'm really looking forward to coming in 2016 called Lost Woods, which we should actually be getting literally any day now. It's a board game that has a little bit of that sort of the Zork exploration mechanic to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've mentioned it before. So I'm really looking forward to that. I am super looking forward to playing Pandemic Legacy. And there's another game that I don't know if I've ever mentioned this game to you. I certainly haven't talked about it on the show. When I was a kid, there was a computer game called Star Wars Rebellion. Do you remember this game? Do you any exposure to this game whatsoever?
I am aware of the game.
Star Wars Rebellion was like one of the first 4X computer games ever. And I played the crap out of that game. Like, I played that game so much that I had to burn a copy because I was worried that I was going to scratch the disc.
Wow.
It was my Sim Tower, okay?
I understand.
So they just recently announced, they being I don't remember who, that they're making it into a board game. More appropriately, they're making a board game called Star Wars Rebellion, which looks like it has a lot of the same stuff in it. So I guess they didn't say, hey, this is the same as the computer game or anything like that, but it looks very similar. Hmm. And Star Wars certainly is packing a punch these days. It's in its heyday. We did just see the movie.
We did.
Good times.
No spoilers, but it was a lot of fun to see.
Conversation inducing.
Oh my goodness. Now we're like, have you seen the movie? Can we talk about it with you?
Yeah. So you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what that is like, how that is. I'm also looking forward to, and this is a game that I think I'm gonna let our oldest try out. In January, like in a couple of weeks, we should be getting our copy of Amplitude.
I forgot what that's coming out.
Amplitude for
now.
PlayStation 4.
Amplitude.
The remake.
The remastered remake thing.
Yeah.
of
it was a PlayStation 2 game that was created by Harmonix before Harmonix made Guitar Hero and got really famous.
It was basically the first Harmonix game. Right? It was either Amplitude or Frequency.
Well, Frequency came before Amplitude, but I don't even think Frequency was the first Harmonix game. But they certainly were some of the first games to really put Harmonix on the map as a game maker, yes.
Yeah, and it's really... The Amplitude and Frequency, the earlier PlayStation 2 games, were... you can see a lot of the seeds of Guitar Hero and Rock Band and all that stuff in there.
Basically, if you've seen Rock Band Blitz, you've seen Frequency and Amplitude.
Rock Band Blitz took a lot of that idea and remade it for a more modern audience using the existing Rock Band catalog of songs. I am super looking forward to Amplitude because they said you all have shown us you like Rock Band Blitz. But people have still been asking for a little bit more of this classic experience.
Right.
So I am pumped, man.
Yeah, I actually think that is literally coming out next week. For some reason, January 15th or January 5th is in my head as like a date.
In any case, expect to hear more about that on the show real soon, too.
Yep. And you know what? I know there is more in my head that I have... thought through the fact that I'm going to be looking forward to, but pretty much none of it is coming out right now. So.
Well, maybe it will come out of your head next week.
It might come out of my head next week. Or, over the course of 2016, hopefully you'll be listening to the show.
Hopefully and, we'll be making a podcast for the whole year.
That would be exciting.
That would be exciting. I think that's about it for our show this week.
I think that's a show, man. I think actually this went a lot longer than I expected it to.
Well, we started talking about games we were excited about, and then we get excited.
And then we got all excited.
That's kind of how it works.
Yeah. All right. Well, so don't forget the contest. We are giving away two Little Hanes card holders.
Go to Facebook. Or go to thefamilygamers.com, episode 15. There you can enter the contest if you don't like the Facebook.
Yeah, if you don't do the Facebook thing, just go ahead and comment on the post for episode 15.
Yes.
And we will include you when we do our selections.
Where can people find us online, Andrew?
Well, you can find us on Facebook. We already mentioned that at facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA. There's also a Family Gamers community.
Ooh.
Which I'm really trying to get people to join. That's, I think, facebook.com/groups/FamilyGamersAA. You can also check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA. You can find us via email, Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
And Anitra, that is A-N-I-T-R-A, @thefamilygamers.com.
Please find us on iTunes and subscribe to the show.
Please
leave us a review on iTunes. It helps to get us noticed. And the more noticed we get, the more stuff we get to give away to you, because I don't want to keep a lot of free stuff from publishers in my house, so I'm going to give it away.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it.
Until next time.
Play games with your kids.